Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview coming to you live here from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me here in SE7 as we get ready to look ahead to Saturday's trip to Plymouth, Argyle, is Mr. Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Yeah, good,
living the dream or?
Not so much with work this week, but with Charlton, of course I'm living the dream with these lovely lot.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Just the two of us today, no Tom Wallen. We don't know where he is actually, he never actually told us. I think he's off.
How dare he? Yeah, not tell us where he's off, going.
Involved in some sort of debauchery, I dare say. Right, on tonight's show, we're going to react to the fact that our boss and hero, Lee Bowyer, has been linked with a move to Queen's Park Rangers. We're going to hear what he himself had to say about that link. We're also going to hear what he can tell us about his contract offer. You remember on last week's show, he said he was expecting to get a contract offer this week, but it's coming. And he had his say on that, and we'll react to that as well. React to the fact that Lee Clark's name all of a sudden turned up on the unannounced, unwelcome. We'll talk about that. Also, later on in the show, we're going to hear how Rico Hackett-Fairchild's getting on loan down at Bromley. I went down to watch the Ravens on Tuesday night, so I spoke to the Bromley player coach Alan Dunn to find out what he's made of Rico's performances so far for Bromley. We're going to hear what Lee Bowyer has made on Johnny Williams recently, because we're also going to hear from Johnny Williams. You may remember on Sunday's show I played you the very end of our Johnny Williams interview, where I was getting told off by Gary Bowyer for going on too long. We're actually going to hear the actual interview there with Johnny Williams. And of course, we're going to start to turn our attention to Saturday's trip down to the southwest to take on Plymouth Argyle. We're going to hear from Chris Errington from the Plymouth Herald. He let us know how the Pilgrims been getting on this season. We're also, of course, going to hear from Lee Bowyer again as he gives us the latest injury updates and tells us what we should expect from our trip down to the southwest. Now, alarm bells ringing on earlier on during the week when we're all sitting there having a lovely old time of it, sitting in the playoffs, everyone's happy, everything's fine in its own way here at the club. And all of a sudden, Lee Bowyer is being linked with a move to the Queen's Park Rangers. No one saw that coming, but it was Giuseppe in the Evening Standard said that QPR were interested in Bowyer, and then Sky Sports later on that evening said that Bowyer was interested in talking to QPR. So the man himself, Lee Bowyer, was asked about that today. He was also asked about his own future as well with his contract. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, I think it's obviously all speculation. There's been no... I've not spoken to anybody from QPR, so I don't know where it's come from, but it is what it is. That's what happens in football. If you're doing well, then you get linked to other jobs. That's what happens. If there is any truth behind it, then it shows that we're doing well, because getting recognition for the good job we're doing, and I think that's a credit to everybody at the football club.
So no contract offer from Rangers?
No. No conversation, so no contract offer, no.
Has the Charlton owner made you a new contract offer? There's speculation that something could be in the post this week.
I received an email last night, but if I'm honest, I don't really understand it. I think Richard Murray will be in today, so I'll go through it with Richard, because it's a bit different to like a normal contract that I've ever seen before. So I'll go through it with Richard and see if he can make any light of it. But I've had something sent through to me.
Will the contract situation, if it is resolved, also be resolved with your backroom team?
Yeah. I think we've all done a good job so far. hasn't changed. Jacko, Marsh, Steve Gallen. I think we've all worked hard to improve the club, and Steve Gallen to bring in the best players we can. And I think we've all been successful there. I think the club's definitely moving in the right direction, so I can't see why they wouldn't want to keep us all on. It'd be crazy. That's my opinion, but it'd be crazy if not. So, yeah, I can't see there being any problems.
As a comparative newcomer to management, are you flattered to be linked with a club that were in the Premier League not so long ago?
Yeah, but like I said, I think it's just speculation, you know. But yeah, obviously this is a good club, a big club, great tradition. So yeah, obviously it's flattering, but I'm not getting carried away. All I've done since the start of the week is focus on Saturday's game. That's my job. That's what I'm paid to do. And nothing's changed in my eyes. So Tuesday, came in training like normal. Went and watched the 23s game. Then on the way home, was trying to prepare with leaving and see the budget for our pre-season tour. So nothing's changed. Been at home watching Plymouth. Watched three games of theirs. So my job's to win games here, and nothing's changed there. Just to get ready for Saturday and get 3 points.
Lee, is there a danger that speculation concerning your future could deflect your players on the immediate task at hand?
No, like I said, nothing's changed. People try and put little barriers in front of what we're trying to achieve here all the time. It's whenever I hear stuff, it's always trying to put negative stuff around this football club. But for me, it's all positive. There's no reason for any negativity. Players are getting recognised, whether we like it or not, on how well they're progressing and improving and getting linked to other clubs. And like I said, that's just the way football is. But nothing's going to change. They know their goal, what our achievements, what we want from this season, and nothing's going to change because of a couple of people trying to link me to another club. Nothing changes there, no.
So there we go, a lot to go on there from that interview with Lee Bowyer. Tony Hudd from BBC Radio, Kent doing the talking down at Press Day today. First of all, the link to the QPR job. Bowyer doesn't seem to know a great deal about it. Says it's a bit of an honour to you know, he's flattered to be linked with a big club. Thoughts on that? Do you think he'd be tempted? I mean, this confusing contract offer that comes in, it'd be interesting to see what comes out of that as well.
Yeah, I think don't get me wrong, if you can try and pick your wits at a higher level, then of course it's going to be it'll be appealing, of course it is. But I think Bowes probably knows that he's built something. It would surprise me even if there was any legs in it if he did go now, because he's so near the end. If you said sort of on the off season, you never know. But I think he'd like to finish the season that he started, for sure, because I mean, it's what, 7 games left or with that. But yeah, no, he's like he said, he said all the right things. We sort of, obviously, in our WhatsApp chat, as soon as it come about, the main sort of consensus was, maybe is it trying to force Roland's hand to give him a deal, which he obviously said that he's received now. But you do well, and this is what happens with players. If we're sitting bottom of the league, you won't be linked with QPR. So, it's like you said, it's the fact of life and the fact of football and what happens when you do well.
I mean, do you think realistically QPR would be interested? Is Gazzeppi at the Evening Standard who said he may be on a list of potentials that QPR would be looking at. He's now said today that he thinks that Tim Sherwood, who was also mentioned during the week, is probably the front runner for the job, which is a bizarre decision in any by any stretch of imagination. But I mean, you could see why QPR they'd be looking around at a club themselves who haven't got as much money as what they used to. So they'll be looking around at someone who's done a good job with little money, and obviously Lee Bay has done that here.
Yeah, and exactly. I think if you look at like you said, QPR, the funds they've got, I don't think Tim Sherwood's going to be very cheap. And if I think if you go down the road, if they're trying to be more progressive and try and look to the future and, like you say, working on a limited budget, coaching players, coaching younger players, improving assets, then, yeah, Bowyer fits the bill. Just in a similar way that Stoke have gone down a completely different route of having a team that was built around a Poulos era and was had one way of playing. They brought Jones in and they're trying to change the identity and the culture of the club. So... it does surprise me because I don't think Sherwood will be going there if they don't have any money to spend. But then, sure, they've still—I don't know if they've still got the FFP stuff or whatever. But it's a Championship club, you know. And if Roland doesn't offer Bowyer what he thinks him and his team deserve, and he doesn't sign it, then maybe he does go. But yeah, we just have to wait and see. But hopefully it's just Bowyer's agents just trying to put the feelers out to get Roland to hurry up.
I mean, and you can see that Lee Bowyer is someone who's you know, got a lot of potential and he clearly believes in himself. He's clearly ambitious. You know, he's always stating what his ambitions are here at Charlton. We're going to get in the top two, we're going to get in the playoffs, we're going to do this or that. He's never one to shy away from, you know, reaching for the stars. So, I mean, you could see why eventually he would... like to be managing in a division higher up. Obviously, we prefer that to happen with Charlton. But so do you think that if it was dangled in front of him, if tactics Tim doesn't want to go to Loftus Road in the end, and QPR do come to Bowyer, you know, especially if there is still some sort of uncertainty hanging over his contract here, I mean, surely he'd be tempted. I mean, you could say QPR, as you say, in a bit of a mess financially at times. They've had to cut down on their spending, but at the same time, as you say, Championship football, Championship club.
Yeah, well, he both played Champions League as a player. You know, he was only here for a short while, and he left to sort of better his career. And I don't think anyone can begrudge anyone that. And if it means that he goes on to bigger and better things, and it's not with us, it's unfortunate, but. It's the, you know, it's the situation we're in at the moment with where we are in the league. But I think, I don't think he'll. I'd be surprised if he goes before the end of the season. But like I said, if Roland doesn't offer him a contract that, you know, he thinks him and his team are worth, then, and he's a free agent in the summer, then so be it. And I, you know, if he does decide to go there, I think all of us hope he does well. But I'm still hanging on to that glimmer of hope that Roland does hurry up.
I mean, he has, to his credit, Roland, he has sent something over today, apparently. I mean, Spenny tweeted earlier saying that tonight's show should be a bit lively. And this will be based on what we've heard today now, Thursday. Press day, Lee Bowyer was asked about his contract. We heard it there. He said he got it via email. He said, if he's honest, he doesn't really understand what it is. He's going to have to run it past Richard Murray. Now, I mean, Lee Bowyer would have seen a few contracts before in his career, and he even said, this is a bit different to a contract that I've seen before. Now, I mean, when you read between the lines, I mean, that doesn't sound too promising, does it? I mean, we're all guessing. I mean, Richard Corley guessed it was delivered through the medium of performative dance. I guess it was probably just written in crayon or something. Tom Wallin on Twitter suggested it may well have been some sort of writing in excrement. But, I mean, when you hear that phrase... it's a bit confusing. It's not like a contract I've seen before. It doesn't fill you with promise that Roland's come out and said, you know what, you've earned a 10% pay rise there and a three-year contract because you've done so well. It sounds like it's a bit chaotic. I mean, hopefully we'll find out more by Saturday, but, I mean, that's not what I wanted to hear, to be honest, this morning.
No, it wouldn't surprise me if it's 1A4 in a font of Comic Sans or something. But, yeah, no, I mean, when Bo said that, what that strikes to me as... is previous contracts he's seen has been written by football people and contracts and terms relating to football performance. Whereas I think Roland's, in my opinion, I would imagine that it's probably not so much based with a lot of football knowledge, and it's probably more along the lines of money. And if he wants to get rid, that he can try and easily force him out without any sort of compensation. But that, listen, that's my opinion. Yeah, that's my opinion. But again, I mean, like you say, Bowyer's seen loads of contracts before. And then for him to say that he don't really understand and he's trying to, he had to get Murray to go, well, he was trying to get Murray to go through it with him. It is intriguing to know what, you know, because contracts are usually, they have to be so clear and concise, don't they? So if it's confusing from the get-go, then... it's quite worrying.
Maybe Roland just spray painted it on the side of one of his houses and then just took a photo and emailed that over.
Sign here.
Yeah, I mean, in any normal club, and we've had to say this a million times this season, there's no way that your young and up-and-coming manager who's performed so well throughout the course of the season would be anywhere near the end of a contract without one having come in way before this and on very good terms as well. Because obviously, we know how football works. If your reputation is high at that time, then you can claim a lot of money, because otherwise other teams, bigger teams in QPR, become sniffing around if all of a sudden Boya becomes available.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, even if I know it's the two different kettle of fish, look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. How long was he there? Done brilliantly. He's been given a contract. Boya, like, I don't understand what's taken him so long. And like you say, I mean, if the longer it drags on, the more interest is going to be about. Because there will be clubs who do have managers at the moment, but maybe want a fresh approach in the summer. And a gaffer like Bose will, yeah, he's early in his career, but he's not going to go in there demanding multi millions pounds of transfer fees, etc. So I think it's a good appeal to a lot of chairmen. Even in this league, really, you've got some big teams down here. I mean, you look at that, the top six. If one of the three of the four don't go up, you look at Boya, and you know he could do a job elsewhere. So he needs to get Bo tied down along with Jacko Marshy and obviously
Steve Gannon links with QPR, I think, with his brother.
Steve and Kevin, they're obviously brothers, aren't they? But
It does seem bizarre, but I mean, Lee Bayer said, I mean, for him, nothing's changed at the moment. It's you know, he took training as per normal. You know, he wants to stay. He stated it many times. It does still seem crazy, like the way he talks about it is, oh, they'd be crazy not to offer us something. Whereas Charlton fans are more worried that other teams will offer him something better. He's sitting there going, oh, I hope they offer me something. But obviously they have, and it's confusing. But he's saying he's still here, he's taking training as normal. One thing that did make me laugh was he's been talking to Livin de Turk about the budget for the pre-season tour, and I was thinking, right, where can you get on a travel card?
Butlins.
Yeah, no, travel card, we could probably play any team
within... Edgware or something.
Yeah, any team within London, so I reckon the pre-season tour will be Barnet.
Bromley.
Yeah, maybe Wildstone.
Oh, I don't know. That's a bit far.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that in zone six? I don't know. Oh. So, yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, do you think this uncertainty will affect the players? But you said it won't.
In terms of a Saturday at 3 o'clock or Bracknell. Saturday, Tuesday. That's another one.
Yeah.
I don't think it will affect the playing side. Even though Bo says no, I do think it affects players coming to the club if they're looking at it for the summer. I do, for 100%.
Potter's Bar Town.
You're just going to reel them off. I'm trying to think of really small, like Enfield.
Yeah, Enfield Town, Cray Wanderers.
Yeah. Or we could do a Cray. You could do a Cray and a
Cray
Bromley
and a Bromley
double
on the same day. Yeah.
Double header, yeah. Like the old Sunday
and then
league.
Homesdale down the road, yeah.
Oh yeah,
Glebe FC,
Peckham FC.
Yeah, see, like we're getting a lot of money out of our pre-season tour travel card here. You could probably, there must be games we can walk to.
Yeah, but who's going to be the glamour tie? You know that one that the week before the season,
the one
starts.
Big tie. So I'll be here at the Valley anyway. So that
yeah, against but, yeah. Who?
Arsenal. That'd be Chris Solly's testimonial, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to affect the players, I think, will uncertainty around a manager's future make it more difficult for Roland du Châtelet to persuade players to sign on in the future themselves? Because with Joe Rebo, if Boya was here on a year's contract, it might not make a difference, but you might think, well, yeah, I have learnt a lot under Lee Boya over the last few months. I'd like, you know, if I know he's going to be here, then I'm happy to stay for one more year. I'm still a young man.
Yeah, and I think if anyone was listening to Steve Gallen's interviews every time he signed a player last year, he did say that Bose was a big pull for the club. And you've got players like you say, Joe Rebo, Josh Cullen, looking at Boya and saying, yeah, I think, you know, Bose will improve me as a player and
Hayes
as a person.
Yedin.
So Bradley Pritchard's on too. So, so yeah, where were we?
Talking about how great.
I'm thinking about Hayes and Yedin. Yeah. I'm thinking he's out in London. I didn't know it was.
I think just about, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Still playing London, yeah. Excellent, right.
But yeah, anyway.
I think we've covered that. I mean, clearly fans have seen these comments from Lee Boya about a contract situation today. No one's gone, oh, I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding. Everyone is thinking, right, I mean, this is something that needs sorting out. Hopefully Boya sat down with Richard Murray today and Richard's gone, no, it's all fine. Everything's fine.
Unless the contract was all written in Flemish. That's probably why I didn't understand it. Or French.
Yeah. Right. I mean, these are all things. But, I mean, fans are going to be worried. I mean, hopefully this will get sorted out over the next few days. Bowyer wants to stay. But if he doesn't get tied down, then he will. He may well get tempted away. And that's what we got to be careful about. And that's what hopefully we shall be dealing with in the next few days. Who knows at this club? Who knows? Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we're going to find out how Rico Hackett-Fairchild has been getting on during his loan spell down at Bromley.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
What were we saying?
Smith alongside me said he should line up for these opportunities.
Well, you know, Naby Sarr can hit them.
Josh Cullen is the other option. It's about
four yards
from the edge of the penalty here. Naby Sarr to take. Sarr over it. Over it is.
Oh!
Naby Sarr!
Naby Sarr! Oh, yes!
We've been looking for a free kick hero, and it comes in the way of Naby Sarr. Everyone's going to claim they said it, but the Charlton man, the centre-half, with a great free kick, the goalkeeper was stood and couldn't do anything about it, and Charlton have the equaliser.
Dagenham and Redbridge. How about them? Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. As promised, before the break, I went down to Bromley on Tuesday evening, and I was not surprised to see Jason Yule was there, as well as the Ravens were preparing to take on Leyton Orient, because there's two Charlton loanees in the Bromley squad. Now, Rico Hackett-Fairchild started. You had Sarah Ponwiradu on the bench as well. Didn't get on, actually. But, Hackett-Fairchild started and also scored the winner for Bromley. It was a surprising win for the Ravens against Leyton Orient, who are doing so well at the top of the National League. It was helped by the fact there was a red card at the start of the second half for Leyton Orient. But Bromley went on to win. It was Rico Hackett-Fairchild, who's played five appearances now, I think, down for Bromley. He scored the header that won the game. Now, caught up with Alan Dunn. Try to ignore his Millwall links, but he is now the player coach down at Bromley. So I spoke to Alan Dunn after the game just to ask him really how Rico's been getting on during his loan spell.
Yeah, again, for such a young age, showed maturity against arguably the best team in the league. Showed his quality, and a goal like that, it just topped off a fantastic night, and really pleased for him.
And a bit more on Rico, obviously, on loan from China. How's he been getting on? This is the first time I've been down here to see him.
I like him, yeah. I've watched him a while, and he offers something different with that left foot coming inside and be able to get shots away. He's got a bit of height presence. He's physically good. And then the back post attacking headers, we ain't seen him a lot this year. And to offer that tonight and to steal it, I'm really pleased for him, proud for him.
So there we go, Alan Dunn there, the Bromley player coach, talking about Rico Hackett-Fairchild, got his first goal for the Ravens on Tuesday night. It's interesting, really. I mean, we've seen how loan spells have almost transformed players. I mean, even with Carlon Grant, that 9 goals he got for Crawley this time last year in the second half of the season, it gave him so much confidence for the start of this year, and we all know what happened with Carlon. I mean, we're looking again. I mean, Rico, is this last chance saloon almost for him?
He needed mentor football. I know he was sniffing around the team when we didn't really have a lot of depth when Igor was out and stuff, but he needed men's football, which he's getting. He's by the sounds of it, he's not pulling up any trees. But
I mean, Alan Dunn was positive about him.
Yeah. I mean, he needs to start doing that on a consistent basis. And I mean, as a striker, as brutal as it is, you are judged on goals. And I think coming through the ranks, Rico did, was scoring, but I don't think he was ever prolific as Carlin was. But yeah, he needs games. We just have to assess the situation, and then, or otherwise, you can end up like other sort of younger players and not have your contract renewed. So I hope it works out for him, like I do for all of our youngsters. But yeah, it's good that he's getting games, and he scored on Tuesday against a good Leighton Orient side, which sounded a bit feisty.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. Yeah, but we won't go into that too much. I mean, we remember he started that game up at Fleetwood away, and with all due respect, he was really throwing it in the deep end there, and he didn't really float, unfortunately, in that game. But I mean, we've seen him score goals at Checker Trade last season, got a couple away at Swansea. He has done that, but it's a case of now whether I imagine that there will be a decision to make at the end of this season, weren't they? Because I believe he's out of contract now. You're looking at that. Is he going to get a new one? I mean, the thing that may well work in his favour is the fact that it does look like the budget's going to be slashed next year, and we're going to be cutting our cloth accordingly. So therefore, he might be within the realms of what we can afford.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, every time I've seen Waker, there's certain elements that he might be good technically, but I think it's his intelligence as a footballer at the moment. It's not quite there for League One standard. Like you say, if we're having to cut the cloth, we can't really be having, paying players, wages which could be funded better elsewhere. I'm not saying, obviously, that we're not going to have any youth players, but I think Rico's at an age now where he's not a youth player. He needs to get his career started. So unless he starts scoring some goals or showing some really good performances, he might struggle to get a contract. But like I said, Bose might have completely disagree with me and probably give him a contract. Who knows? But I think all of us just want Rico to do well, and we'll just see where he is at the end of the
game. I mean, by looking at him, from when you have seen him in Charlton games, what do you think his strengths are? What do you think he brings to the team that someone else might not?
Well, so that's what I mean. So he's got height. I give him that. And but I don't think he's physically formed as his height would suggest. But then he is really quick, and I think he's got a good left foot. I think his build-up play is a bit too way off to play up front at the moment. I think Carlin came onto the scene and was a bit lightweight, but then he seemed to bulk out a little bit, and you could see that everyone can see that where he is now. So he's improved. So it's possible. I just think he needs to probably bulk up a little bit, get used to men's football, and then obviously need to start banging in the goals.
Yeah, hopefully. Right, so anyway, good to hear from Bromley player coach Alan Dunn there. On how Rico's getting on down at Hayes Lane, his first goal for the club on Tuesday evening. Be interesting to see what happens with him at the end of the year. Right, Johnny Williams came in to speak to us after the 1-0 win over Bradford last week. I did say on last Sunday show that you forget that win quite quickly, and I literally have forgotten that win almost immediately, and I'm just, it was a Lyle Taylor goal. I barely just remember who scored the goal. It was not a classic by any stretch of the imaginations. But we got the 3 points, and that's the most important thing. Johnny Williams came in to speak to me, and he said himself that it is a good sign that you can win games when you're not playing at your very best.
Yeah, I think at this stage of the season, the main important thing is to get 3 points. I think we all know as players we can play better than that. It's the first time since I've been there I've played a team out of proper satin, and it is difficult at times, no matter who you're playing against. And they made it tough for us at times, and there was chances for them on the counter-attack.
We've seen a lot of games like that down here at Charlton this season, but more often than not, the Addicts have had the quality to unlock them at least once. Will you show the sort of players that they have in their side?
Yeah, I think they've got some good players. They've had a tough season. We knew where they were at the start of the game. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, but we do believe in ourselves as players, and we know we can perform at a better level than that. And the manager knows that himself, and he'll keep driving us on to put in better performances. But at the end of the day, it's a clean sheet and it's another win. and that, you know, we are chasing them top two spots down again, because we see Barnsley drew as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, is it down to 5 or 6 points now, the gap up to second? So it's not impossible that we could still catch up with them.
Yeah, I think we got to focus on ourselves. You know, we've got some games where we are looking at, you know, winning as many of them as we can. You know, playoffs is creeping up on us, and we want to go into the playoffs, you know, feeling positive. So, we're looking forward to the remaining games, and just pick up as many points as we can.
Does the cushion that you have above seventh place almost take a little bit of that pressure off? You know, so that's something like 12 points as well. So you're looking at, you don't really have to be too worried about being caught, so you can play perhaps with a little bit more freedom as you try and catch that top two.
Yeah, I think that at one point, you know, the seventh spot was very close to us, and we were looking behind us, but now we've had a few good results, and then we can start looking up again. And you know, as I said, going into the playoffs with a positive feel, and I think we can play better than we showed today. And I think the most important thing was to get the win, and we've got two away games now. We have to pick up as many points on the road as we can.
And how are you feeling yourself? Obviously, you come back from injury today, and you went off again. Was that purely just sort of getting back into the swing of things? Nothing
gone wrong? No, I'm fine. I trained since Monday, when I felt my hamstring against Portsmouth, I feared the worst, and I was, to be honest, looking at making the playoffs, so it was a blessing when I saw the scan. For once, luck was on my side, and it wasn't too bad, and I only missed two games in the end, so I was delighted to be back to make the Bradford game, and got the win, and now we can look forward to the next game.
And how are you enjoying your time at the club? Obviously, it's a... You were at Palace for so long that it must be weird to be in a different environment now. Obviously, apart from your loans as well.
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's nice to kind of come away from that. I've had a lot of loans, so it's nice to have a fresh start. And couldn't have wished for, like, we're in a good position at the moment, and I'm enjoying my football, staying fit, and trying to play as many games as I can. And the main aim was to try and get Charlton promoted to the Premiership, and still on course for that. And, you know, what it's like in the playoffs, it's a bit of a lottery. I've got a good record in there, so hopefully I can keep that.
Yeah, I mean, your deal here is only for 6 months. Are you looking longer term about what your options might be for the next few seasons? Do you know what might be out there for you yet?
To be honest, not really. You know, I'm trying to focus on, you know, Charlton and getting the club back in the Championship. I'm trying to focus on staying fit, and you know, the seasons come quick and fast. So it will soon be the summer, and I'll be looking at, you know, my next step in my career, and wherever that may be. I just want to enjoy my football again, and we'll see. I've really enjoyed my time here, so who knows?
Could you see it being here for next season if promotion was achieved? Would that help?
Yeah, I think, of course. You know, if that'd be a real good feel good factor if we were to get promoted, and it's a real good bunch of lads, and I've enjoyed working under the manager. I think it's improving me, getting in better goal scoring positions, and making an impact higher up the pitch, so I think he is helping me improve my game. But yeah, we'll see come the summer. I'm enjoying my football here, and yeah, I don't see why not if things good. So we'll see.
Yeah, obviously, there's a lot of competition for places in the Charlton midfield, and lots of young and up and coming players as well. Joe Rebo, in particular, has been linked with some big clubs this week. What's he like to play alongside?
Oh, he's a fantastic player. To be honest, I was surprised at how good he was, to be honest. He just needs to keep playing like he is, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of options. I'm not surprised, to be honest. And obviously, Charlton are going to be trying to keep him here, and he's here till the end of the season, I believe. So if he can put a real shift in and get the club back in the Championship, you know, who knows?
And you mentioned about your experience in the playoffs. You say you think that will sort of hold you in good stead if that is where Charlton end up. You've played in that sort of high-pressure environment before.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of it's a lottery, you know. When I was at Palace, it was, you know, we were pretty much underdogs and written off throughout the whole playoffs. So, I think we were underdogs, but we... just shows you it's a lottery, so as long as we make it, who knows?
There we go. You can just hear Gary Bowyer there just walking down to have a pop at me. Go back to Sunday Show if you want to find out what that was about towards the end of that interview. Ira from Belvedere.
Yes.
Yeah, that's in that must be in zone 4 or 5 as well. So that'll be all right for the pre-season tour. Johnny Williams there. Speaking about the Bradford game, more importantly, I mean, let's focus on his future. We'll hear what Lee Bowyer had to say about him today as well, because it's quite interesting. But would you keep him if we could afford him? I mean, again, with our ridiculous situation we're in, I don't know if we could afford, you know, half of Johnny Williams at the moment. But I mean, what do you reckon? Would we want to keep him in an ideal world?
If we didn't go up, or even if we did go up, yeah, I would. I can't if we so don't.
That's a yes either way. Then,
but I can't.
I didn't need that. Yeah, sorry. That explanation.
Yeah. If they, yeah, I think if we don't, I can't see him staying if we don't go up. I think it'll be too much. But I think he's proved his fitness. He's played a lot more than I thought he would. I thought he was going to have a couple of niggles here or there. But yeah, I think we'd be mad not to keep him. I know his final. You know, him in the final third hasn't been there quite as yet.
Well, interesting, yeah.
But yeah, I think you can't really turn your nose up with someone like Johnny Williams, I don't think.
Well, it's interesting what you said about him in the final third, because Lee Bowyer was actually asked about it. Because remember, like maybe a few weeks ago, Lee Bowyer said, oh, I think we want to start seeing a bit more from Johnny Williams and similar players in the midfield in the final third. So Bowyer was asked about if he feels there's been an improvement on that front from Johnny Williams. He was asked that in today's press day.
Johnny on Saturday put one on the plate for Lyle, so there was end product. But again, I have to keep pushing them, because to make them better, they have to have that end product. If you're an attacking player, you have to either assist or score goals, and preferably both. So I will keep pushing them and trying to get them to make the right decisions and to get into the right areas. That's like I said, that's my job, to improve them as players. And I think Johnny, just before he got injured, 2-3 games before that, he started to impact more in the final third. Saturday, obviously, put one on the plate for Lyle. So, yeah, in a difficult game. So, yeah, he was, again, he will improve. Still got a good few weeks left of the season, and I'm sure he'll get better and better.
So there we go, AFC Hornchurch. Johnny Williams, Lee Bowyer saying you see an improvement, still always asks for more, doesn't he? So, but I mean, I feel like there has been, you know, he set up one for, Josh Cullen against Portsmouth that Igor Vitekely inadvertently blocked as well. I mean, he is putting chances on a plate for people now. He sounds comfortable here. Like I say, I mean, he was very non-committal about whether he'd stay here or not, which is probably understandable. But I mean, yeah, I feel like he's probably just about done enough. And I mean, because we are in this bizarre situation where you don't know who is going to be here next season, this is all guessing, really. Yeah. And that's the problem that we are in, because no matter what happens this year, I mean, it will be a bizarre situation if we do get to that playoff final, we do find ourselves in the championship next season, and we don't have a team. Because, I mean, that would be such a waste of what Lee Bowyer had achieved this season.
Yeah, because I think even if we do go up, you're still not guaranteed to keep all your players, because someone might come in with a better offer. So, yeah, and that's I think that's what the frustrating thing for all of us is that we know we've got a good core bunch of players here that if we got them tied down, that they could probably make the step up to the championship. But at the moment, there's so much dilly dallying around. It's just putting a big sort of grey cloud over it, and it's disappointing, because every time we seem to be going in the right direction, we're always, you know, what is it, one step forward, two steps back, and it's just a never-ending circle of just disappointment. So hopefully, yeah, we go up and we get all these sort of players tied down and we can have a good crack.
Talking of a never-ending circle of disappointment, I don't think we really actually went into enough about Lee Clark, his name coming into the
happiest
window.
Now, man in football.
We talked about it earlier, yeah, but I mean, that would be a never-ending circle. I mean, it is one of the most blatant agent play stories I've ever seen in my entire life. Because there is no way on God's green earth. So this is how the story went. So on Tuesday, at some point during the afternoon, Lee Bowyer's name was linked with a QPR job. And by Tuesday evening, The Sun ran a story saying that Lee Clark would be the head of the list of Charlton, that Charlton would have to replace Lee Bowyer. Now, there is no way on God's earth that Roland du Châtelet, who would make this decision, knows who Lee Clark is, let alone within one afternoon would have drawn up a list of people and had him at the very top of it. I mean, that is one of the worst things I've ever seen. And then to add to it, just to show you how far down the pecking order Lee Clark is now, there's a website that I admit I'd never heard of until today called Tribal Football. It's got a reasonable following on Twitter, so it's probably my fault I've not heard of it rather than anything else. Lee Clark writes for that website. And because he's on there, he was able to give them a comment saying he'd be open to the job, but effectively saying he'd be open to any job. So Lee Clark has gone to a website I've never heard of, because he works there, because he's not really in management at the moment, to tell him he'd be up for this job. I'm not going to look really stupid if he does come here next season after interviewing.
Imagine tomorrow.
But I mean, come on, that is one of the most blatant. I mean, that is like me putting myself in the hat for a job at a football club, because that was outrageous from Lee Clark.
Yeah,
he better be giving his agent a bonus this week.
Yeah, exactly. And well, he's probably got one of the biggest, longest winning runs in football, isn't he?
When
he
was Huddersfield Town, I believe. Was it under 15 years?
Yeah. So yeah, but wait, I did laugh when that come up, because I put it in the group, didn't I? I was just cracking up.
Yeah,
just how Roland just sat there and said, "I'll tell you what, steer this club forward, Lee Clark."
Excellent choice. Right, let's gear up now. Saturday, we're making the long trip down to Plymouth Argyle. In fact, I'm making the trip on Friday. I'm spending the weekend down there. You're staying down there if you're coming down Saturday.
Yeah, staying down there all weekend.
So yeah, if you're
watch out.
On, yeah, I was gonna say if you're out in Plymouth on Saturday night, look out for Nathan on the prowl.
That's painting me a good picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the prowl.
Right. Chris Errington from the Plymouth Herald. He's been covering the Pilgrims for many a year. Always our go-to guy for Plymouth. He's the man in the know down at Home Park. I asked him how Argyle have been getting on this season. He says it's been another interesting campaign down in the southwest.
Yeah, it's been another mad season for Argyle, Louis. Last season, Charlton fans may recall that they had a dreadful start to the season and then almost ended up making the playoffs after an incredible run in the second half of the season. And it's been a similar story this term. Again, they had a terrible start at Christmas. They lost to AFC Wimbledon on Boxing Day 2-1. They went to the bottom of the table. And, you know, it looked pretty dire for them at that stage. Since then, though, they've had, I think it is 7 wins, 6 draws and 3 defeats in their last 16 games. And, you know, ordinarily, 14th place in the table with 6 games to go, you'd be feeling reasonably safe. But as you rightly say, with how congested it is down the bottom of the table, they're certainly not taking their survival chances for granted at the moment. It is extremely close.
Yeah, like say, with how tight it is, I mean, every game they're going into, it's effectively a 6-pointer, it seems.
It is. 3 of the next 4 games that they're playing are against top 6 opposition. So after they play Charlton on Saturday, they are away to Doncaster Rovers the following Saturday. Then they've got a trip to Gillingham, and then they have on Easter Monday the visit of Barnsley to Home Park, and I think we all know how good a side Barnsley are. So they've got a run of difficult on paper games coming up, and they're also coming off the back of 2 games where they've had 2-1 leads going into stoppage time at the end of the second half, and they've ended up drawing both. So they've seen 4 points slip from their grasp in the last 2 games.
Yeah. You mentioned the comparison with last season. I mean, after that strong finish they had where they only just ended up outside the top 6, I mean, was there an expectation that they'd do a little better this year?
I think there was definitely a hope, and a strong hope. I don't know whether an expectation, maybe among some of the fans. They did lose a couple of key players after last season, the 2017-18 season, and what has been a regular tale for Argyle under Derek Adams since he's been manager in 2015 is because they don't sign players on particularly long contracts, they have had quite a high turnover of players, and certainly last season and this season it has taken the new signings that have been brought in, and a lot of new signings, it's taken them time to gel. That's one of the reasons I think why Argyle have struggled at the start of both of the last 2 campaigns.
Yeah, and you mentioned Derek Adams there. I mean, he's been at the club for a few years now. Of course, brought them back into League One. How are fans? How do they feel about him? Considering that it's been a slightly more difficult season this year.
Yeah, it's been a challenge. You know, trying to please all of the fans all of the times, I think, is next to impossible for any football manager, isn't it? But he's been Argyle's manager since the start of the 2015-16 season, and his win percentage in League One is in the league in those seasons is around about the 45% mark. So they've won an awful lot of games under his stewardship. Yes, you know, when you have tough times like Argyle did, particularly in the first part of this season when people are thinking, oh, here we go again, you know, why can't we get things right to start the season? You know, there were a few dissenting voices, but unlike a lot of the clubs around League One and around the EFL in general, I don't think there was ever a feeling that Argyle were going to make a change of manager. He's not just the first team manager as well, it's worth adding. He is the head of football, and he signed a five-year contract last summer. So if Argyle were to make a decision to make a change, they wouldn't just be replacing a manager, but they'd be replacing somebody that has his fingerprints over nearly every football decision that's made at Home Park.
Mm. Now, what are the strengths and weaknesses of Plymouth this season? Like, say, it's such a weird situation to be in the middle of the table, but close to the bottom as well. But they are effectively a mid-table side.
Yes, and hopefully that's the way it will end. Strengths and weaknesses, I mean, they have had issues. Well, as I've mentioned already, you know, they've conceded late goals in the last two games. That's clearly something that's that, you know, is a problem for them, and you know they won't want any repeat of that for the rest of the season. Defensively, they have conceded a number of goals during the course of the season. Although in the second half of the season, they have had a much more settled back four, particularly with Ryan Edwards and Niall Canavan at centre back. So that's helped them. The strengths are, you know, Graham Carey's been a very good servant to Argyle over the best part of nearly four seasons now. But this season, Ruben Lamirez, who's a Portuguese-born player but grew up in London and had a spell with Spurs before going to Coventry, Lamirez has really come to the fore this season. He's Argyle's second top scorer this season with 12 goals. Not really somebody you would think was a natural goal scorer, but his ability to play out in wide positions, cut inside, get in shots, make darting runs into the penalty box. Anyone who watches League One football on a regular basis would have seen how effective he's been for Argyle over, certainly since Christmas. And you know, he's been their key player, I would say, you know, for the last few months.
And of course, with Charlton coming down on Saturday to Home Park, it's a ground where Plymouth are on a decent run, actually, no defeats in eight. What sort of game should Charlton expect from them? Will they go quite defensive? I noticed they got a great result against Portsmouth and Luton recently. So how do they set up against the bigger teams coming down?
They generally play 4-2-3-1. That's the way they go. Freddie Lavapo, the former Palace striker, he's got 17 goals for this season. He's the figurehead. They'll have Carey and Lamirez sort of either side of him, with a central midfield player, possibly Anthony Sarcevic, although there's maybe a little bit of an injury doubt over him for the game. The two holding midfield players and then the flat back four. In terms of how they approach the game, you know, I think there'll be a decent crowd there again. The Argyle crowd's been around about the 10,000 mark this season. I think they'll want to see their side get on the front foot and not be too passive against a Charlton team. You know, Argyle have played against Charlton over the last couple of seasons. They know there's some good quality players in that Charlton lineup. So I don't expect them to go, you know, all guns blazing, but I don't think they'll be sitting on the back foot too much. One thing just for you, Louis, and for any of the Charlton fans who are coming down, is that the old grandstand at Home Park that's been there since the 1950s is being very extensively redeveloped. So the ground is only being used on three sides. So it's quite an unusual view seeing this grandstand, which is now beginning to take shape in the form that it will look. But it's not going to be completed till the end of 2019. So the touchline side of Home Park to the left of where the Charlton fans will be is very much a building site at the moment.
So there we go, Chris Errington from the Plymouth Herald, ahead of Saturday's trip down to the southwest to take on the Pilgrims, one of the many teams that are in that massive relegation battle. So they're sitting there in 14th in mid-table, but they're only 5 points above the relegation zone. So it's still all to play for, and as Chris mentioned, they've got some tough fixtures coming up in the next few games. So they will be desperate to try and take points off us at Home Park, where they're on a very good run.
Yeah, I think...
with the fixtures they got coming up, I think they'll take a point. But I think it'll be a tricky game. Even the home game here, they caused us. Probably scored first, didn't they?
Yeah, and it was a late winner from Carlin Grant, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was chucking it down that day as well. But it's going to be a tricky. I do like Graham Carey. I think he's a good player. I think Ladapo's come on strong. I think he's improved a lot since he played. I think it was Oldham before, or something like that.
I saw he was at Palace. I saw him playing on loan at Grays Athletic, actually, who we should be going to on our pre-season tour. years ago.
But yeah, no, listen, it's going to be a tricky game, I think. But we need to start picking these points up and putting the pressure on Sunderland Barnsley.
Derek Adams, the manager, didn't speak about it with Chris, but because it's not fair really to put him on the spot like that, but he's another manager who's gone and taken out a little bit on the local press. He sort of banned them from his pre-match press conferences. So the sort of things we hear on a Thursday from Bowyer, he's banned the local paper from doing that because that's not contractual. It's only the post-match ones he's done. I mean, it's never a good sign when a manager cannot take criticism from a local paper if that was the case. I mean, because it shows you can't handle the pressure, to me.
Yeah, I think with managers, they do get a lot of stick. But it's part and parcel of the job, and you've got to have thick skin. But I don't exactly know what was said or what he's got the ump about. But I think he is quite—he's quite outspoken anyway. I'm trying to think. Was he the one who was trying to cause a stir with us before the game or something about us getting promoted? Oh no, he was the one who said he didn't do a lap of honour because they were going to playoffs.
Yeah.
So he's one of those ones. He's a Marmite sort of off the cuff geezer, but it is what it is, but hopefully we win and he can carry on moaning through his local press.
Excellent. Right, let's gear up from a Charlton point of view. Lee Bowyer was asked for an update from the injury point of view, which we'll hear in a second. But he was also pointed out that, of course, if we get just a draw tomorrow, we will have equaled last season's point tally with six games left to go. So Bowyer was asked that he must be happy with that return already this season.
I'm satisfied, but I think we could have had more. If I'm honest, I think we could have had more points. I think this since the turn of January, we've only lost one. But I think we've drawn games that we would have won if we just kept hold of Carlin. Like that's just so obvious. So there was a time before January we was either winning or losing. We didn't really draw. Where now we've drawn games that I believe we would have won. So it's disappointing in a way because we're so close to that second spot. Obviously, we was only 3 points off it then. And I'm happy, but I want more. And the time that I'm just going to accept where we are is wrong. It's never going to happen, so I'm going to keep pushing them to the end of the season and try and win as many games as we can and see where we end up.
You're saying Carlin's the difference between automatic promotion and playoffs?
I'm saying he's been a big loss. And I'm saying that if he would have still been in around the building, then we would have won more games. The games that we would have withdrawn, we would have probably won them. I believe that, yeah.
And on the injury front, what's it looking like for Plymouth? Anyone back that you've not had recently?
Yep, Christian. Christian's training. So hopefully he'll get through today and tomorrow. So he'll be back in the squad as long as he stays injury free. So Paige is training. He trained on Tuesday. So we'll see how he goes. And Jake's back training properly now, contact. So we have to be careful with him, but there'll be a steady process with him. But yeah, I think we're fully full strength.
Is there a chance that Jake Forster-Caskey could play in the team before the end of the season?
Yeah, that depends on him. Without being stupid, if he can get to the level that the other lads are on, and then he'd be in amongst it. Like I said, it always goes down on who's doing well, who's playing well. But Jake's got a lot of catch up to do in a short space of time. So I hope that he can, because I'd love to have him in and around the squad by the end of the season. But it's something that we have to tread carefully with and just judge day by day, week by week, and see where he gets to. Obviously, he's got to play in the 23s and see how he comes through that. So there's still a way for Jake to go, but the good thing is that he's back and around training with us.
So there we go, Lee Bowyer, looking ahead to Saturday's game down at Plymouth with the injury update. Obviously talking about Jake Forster-Caskey, who we spoke about on last week's show. Christian Billick sounds like he's going to be back, which we were hoping for. We as long as we weren't going to rush him, which we don't seem like we have, but he sounds like he's going to be back now. Do you think he comes straight in for... Obviously, Josh Cullen's been playing at the bottom of the base of the diamond. I can't see Josh getting dropped. I can see him getting moved into the middle... maybe in place of Reeves. Do you think that'll be where he'd go for? Do you think he'll keep Christian on the bench? You know, because there really is no rush, is there? No. So maybe just save him for Tuesday against Wickham.
Yeah, I think Tuesday would. I'd probably wait till Tuesday because I think it would be more of a physical game than Saturday. But saying that, like Chris was saying, Everton was saying, you know, Lemaris likes to come off the wing, so they're going to try stretch us and come inside. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't risk Christian. I don't think it's worth it.
I wouldn't
risk him. I'd rather save it for Tuesday. But
again, we're in this ridiculous situation where we're so comfortable in those playoff places that there's absolutely no need to take any unnecessary risk at this moment in time, really, is there? I mean, outside chance of the top two is looking quite outside now. Barnsley 9 points ahead of us. We've got 7 games left to go. Sunderland on the march now again, winning at Accrington in midweek. So it is a hell of a tough task to get into that top two. So really, it is about trying to manage those risks now between the end of the season if it is going to be a playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I think whilst it's still mathematically there, I think Bowes will still... I think if we lose to on Saturday, I think that will probably kill it dead. The top two, I've still got a little bit of hope, but yeah, like you say, we've still got to be sensible about it. We don't want to rush Christian back and then he's out for 2 months because then it'd be silly. But obviously only Bowes will know how fit he is, but if he's training full time, then sounds like he could play.
Other questions? I mean, Dick Steele seems to have made that right back position his own over the last few weeks. Chris Solly has been on the bench for the last few games. Can you see that changing? Dickie's put in some good performances, really, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's against Bradford. I think he could have done better going forward. But again, he was predominantly a centre half defensive midfielder when he first started, wasn't he? So I can understand that. I can see Solly coming in tomorrow. I don't know why. I've just got a feeling. He was ill, wasn't he? Souls was ill, wasn't he? That's why he didn't play on Saturday. Was he sick or something?
I forget.
But yeah, I think Solly might come in, and maybe Anthony will come in on for Wickham on Tuesday. But yeah, that's what I mean. It's a luxury now. We're getting players back now. I think it'd be a bit too soon for Page. Otherwise, hopefully, he'll come on and score a banger again like last year.
Yeah. No question about Sarr still. Again, it seems unlikely that Pearcey will come in for him. I mean, it must be a weird situation for Jason Pearce to be the captain of the club and not really getting a look in at the moment because the back four are playing so well, in particular, of course, the two in centre half.
Yeah, no, I think I'd keep Naby there, especially again. I'm trying to balance the two games against Wickham when you've got Akinfenwa. I think Pearcey sort of dealt with him quite comfortably after the first 20 minutes against Wickham last time, so I'd keep Naby in for tomorrow and save Jace for Tuesday.
Yeah, and then finally, question we get to ask every week, but again, we're now leaning down on the side of Igor. He seems to be starting the last few games. Josh Parker played for the... I think he played for the 23s during the week. We beat Millwall. George Lapsley got a couple. But yeah, it seems likely that Igor will be the man to keep his place.
Yeah, I agree. I think he looked a bit sharper on Saturday. I think there was a couple of moments where there was a ball crossed it and he just missed it, couldn't get a toe on it. He was chasing back, he was hustling, he's hurrying. So I think he's getting fitter now. So yeah, I don't think he's done anything to deserve to be dropped. It's not like... I don't think, you know, Josh Parker's exactly played his way into Bo's thoughts, because, you know, he's had a stop-start career with us and he's been sick and whatnot. So yeah, I think Igor starts.
There we go, excellent stuff. Right, so effectively no changes, which make my team is very boring on Saturday. But there we go. I mean, Bayer was asked about the fact that we are, as we know, 1 point away from equaling last season's tally, which would be with 6 games left. after Plymouth. I mean, that is an incredible turnaround. And you think about, I was asked to, Chris Errington actually asked me to answer a couple of questions on Charlton for him. Mm. And when you think back to that opening day of the season with five subs, with George Lapsley in midfield, when we didn't really know that he was actually going to be, you know, more ready than we realised, it's crazy to think how well we've done this year. And again, I mean, that's clearly why Bowyer's been linked with all these big jobs, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think if you think about it, we got into the playoffs last year on the same amount of points, and that was the season, obviously we finished that season, and we're going to have more points. It shows how far we've come, how many points we've come, and also how competitive the league is this year. Not even looking at the bottom half of the table, as everyone knows, even the top, you've got some good teams in there this year. And so yeah, I think that everyone deserves a lot of credit, because we've been very, very good.
Excellent stuff. Right, we need to remind you that there is no show on Sunday evening. I mentioned this on last Sunday, but basically because we are all staying down in the southwest in Plymouth for different reasons, my brother is having his stag do around the game, Nathan Thomas staying down there as well, we simply won't be back in time. Unfortunately, life has got in the way, so there won't be a show on Sunday evening, so don't come over to Charlton Live on Sunday. We'll be back here instead next week on Thursday. And I also remember, if you're not down in Plymouth on Saturday, the Team Addicts, some of the people who'll be cycling with us over to Amsterdam in the summer, they're going to be in the Glade Shopping Centre in Bromley collecting money for prostate cancer. So if you're in the area, make sure you go down and see Tracy Leeburn. Will be down there, a few people from Team Addicts, including Ray and his dogs as well. So if you want to go and see them and donate some money to a worthy cause, please feel free to do so. Right, so we have run out of time here on Charlton Live. We won't be here on Sunday. We'll be back next Thursday with a big match preview against ahead of what will be the huge game against Luton Town here at the Valley. So we look forward to looking ahead to that one next Thursday. All to say, Nathan, thanks for coming in.
No worries. Yeah, cheers, mate.
Yeah, looking forward to the pre-season tour to Dagenham and Redbridge next season, of course. I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in next Thursday. Let's hope that we'll be back here talking about 3 points that Charlton have won away to Plymouth Argyle on Saturday. We shall see you later.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.